Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn. This is the round 24 preview of a tough fortnight. Especially, well, last week we went 0-4, reverse sweep. But if you add up all the best bets from the last 2 weeks, 1-9, we did win the mixed matchup, which is actually the 13th win in the last 14 rounds. If we look at everything overall, best bets 54-34 for the season. That's 61% at average winning odds $1.87. Mixed matchups just out of this world, 71% 17-7 average winning odds $2.50. The multis plus 19 units you'll see in the stats. Now I'm including the 15-1 season multi, which I'll talk about. Maybe I shouldn't be including that. It hasn't actually paid out yet. I'll talk about that. Look, I discussed the losses on the recap, and I can even make a case of the last 9 losses, 8 of them were close, but I don't want to be sitting here making excuses because I'm not perfect and I strive to improve every week. So I know there's definitely plenty of room to improve. Has it been an unlucky 2 weeks? Yes, but has it been an unlucky season? No, I don't think so. I think if you told me where we were going to be at after 23 rounds and the results across the board and all the different ranges, best bets, mixed matchup, multis, I'd absolutely take it. It's just been unfortunate that we had a bunch of bad best bet results in a row. Look, I'm definitely confident in what I'm doing still, but am I confident that we're definitely going to bounce back this weekend? No, that's not something I can promise. 1-9 out of 10 is certainly really bad, and I'm doing everything I can to turn it around for everybody. But the thing is, I don't have like a bag of tricks that I can reach a little deeper into or an extra method or process I can work harder, because I already do work as hard as I can every week. So I have to be honest, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a bit nervous going into this round. I feel that pressure. I feel that weight of the best bet losses. And even though we've offset it with like multis and the mixed matchup, It's still a tough time for me. But having said that, I've gone back to the drawing board. I've got 5 plays that I want to share that are my favorite bets for round 24. Make of them what you will. It begins with the opening game of round 24. I'm taking the Knights plus a half a point in the first half, $1.89 on Sportsbet, next best $1.88, Ladbrokes and Ned. So they play the Titans. Look, it's a really meaningful game for both teams, not just the Titans, the Knights as well. I'm going to dive into a segment later about top 8 implications and motivation. And I just think the Knights are the better team. They've got more playmakers that are more scary across the park. They might not be as desperate, but you just wonder if the fact that it's must win for the Titans, like absolute must win, adds pressure to them as well. It's not guaranteed to be an advantage. I think this game could definitely be tight, but that's where I love the fact that we actually get the Knights as a slight underdog. They can even be level at halftime. And in the key moments, I think the Knights will be more clinical. Moving to Friday, I'm going to take the Raiders team total over 4.5 tries. $1.88, Ladbrokes and Neds. So they're in another must win. So I've just said, must win sometimes means pressure, but the difference is the Raiders should be able to beat New Zealand. They are about a 6 point or 5.5 point or 6.5 point favorite against New Zealand. They get a full week to recover from a really tough Manly loss where they were underdogs. Like they wouldn't have felt for sure they were going to win that game. New Zealand has a shorter period, just 5 days, to pick themselves up off the canvas after a heartbreaking defeat to Brisbane, a game that they thought they should win. So if I was backing the Raiders just with the line, and a bonus tip, you can play Raiders minus $5.50 on Unibet, and I considered that. But my biggest concern is I really think the Warriors are going to come out this week and absolutely throw the footy around. That was Brown's biggest criticism of his team. And now that the pressure's off, so to speak, I think they unleash the shackles. So I think the Warriors will play a really open brand of footy, and that's going to be conducive to a lot of points. Therefore, if the Raiders want to win this game, they're going to have to find some points in this one. And I think we get an additional edge playing their team total over on tries, because my understanding is Rapana is going to be the goal kicker. I think he's got the lowest kicking percentage of any of the goal kickers in the NRL. So therefore, I like Raiders over on tries rather than over on points. Moving to Saturday, I'm going to take the Cowboys plus 5.5 at $1.80 on Bet365. That's in their alt line. The next best would be to take plus 2.5, which I think is the line everywhere else, or 3.5, but $1.95 in the sports bet other markets. And to explain that again, that key number of winning by 4, if the Dragons win by 4 and getting obviously plus 5.5 would win, whereas plus 2.5 wouldn't, I think that's worth about 20 cents. That's why I'll be willing to sacrifice that for playing $1.80 rather than the $1.95. But either way, I still think it's a decent price. And simply put, I think it's a coin flip game. Both sides are desperate because it's been so long since they've tasted victory, especially for the Cowboys. And these inclusions for the Cowboys, Taumalolo to the forward pack, they got Holmes back a couple of weeks ago, the Hammer back. That's a big difference to this team. It really improves them, and it might be under the radar because the Cowboys are just dismissed as being a terrible team. Look, I'll admit this game's a really unpredictable one, but I do predict that the Cowboys will fight hard and fight hard for a result, and then getting that line, those couple extra points in our pocket, it's an extra buffer in our favour. Moving later on Saturday, I'm going to take the Storm minus 10.5 in the second half. It's $1.87 on Unibet, and the next best dollar is $1.85 for minus 11.5 on Top Sport. And every bookie's got at least minus 11.5, which is essentially the same as minus 10.5. Very rarely you're going to win a half by 11. They play the Parramatta Eels. Although, just if you can play the 10.5, you've got that just added random field goal factor. We've seen Pappy slot a random one before. Look, I'm going to go in depth in this when I talk about the Storm Power game, but I really expect like a complete 80-minute performance for the Storm. This could be the last time they play all their regular players, all their starters, all together in a half of footy prior to the final. So this could be the ultimate tune-up and blow out the cobwebs and want to complete the game and play a high intensity for 80 minutes and play finals level footy. And they get some guns back, Brandon Smith, Olam, Jerome Hughes. They're all back this week while the Storm don't really lose any key players. And even if you look at the fringe guys, because there's still one or two players that will further add to this Storm side. But even the fringe guys, I think, on these contenders are fighting for spots in round 24, round 25, because they want to be part of the 17 that potentially wins a premiership. And in Storm's case, they're about to make a run at a second straight premiership. So the fact that Melbourne have only covered a spread once in the last five, I think actually gives us a slight discount on the line this weekend, and I think this is the time where they could really flex their muscles, and it's just hard for me to see Parramatta offering much resistance at all. If they do, I think Parramatta may offer resistance in the first 20, but I cannot see how they can go with the Melbourne Storm. So I like them second half. I'm going to apply the same logic for my fifth and final best bet of the round. Panthers minus 13.5, $1.82 on Unibet. And next best, everyone else is at minus 15.5. Best price on that, Toppy, $1.89. Where you risk Panthers could win the second half by 14, but you do get that 7 cents better price. So get at that on Unibet if you can. So similar principle to the Storm, where I believe that this is their last potential hit out with a full strength squad. So Brian To'o is back, Fisher Harris is back. Penrith are getting close back to the side that they had before the Origin period. It's also a revenge game for Penrith, as it is for Melbourne, actually. Both Penrith and Melbourne play an opponent that beat them the last time they played each other this year. And I just don't have any faith in Wests, or don't know what they've got left in the tank. I mean, Dwayne is injured now. Tarmow hasn't even been named for this one either. They've got no hopes of making the finals. So what are Wests trying to achieve in this game? Are they desperate to try and get up to ninth at best? I think Penrith's going to trounce them. And I really do believe that teams want to build up their best form up into the finals. And that includes keeping a high level of intensity right through to 80. Because no score is safe these days, especially against good sides. So therefore, I think these big guns are going to put an emphasis on playing the full 80. And also, it's the inverse logic that I've employed this year, where I've liked to take some big underdogs with the first half line. Well, if I want to play the big favourite, I'm actually thinking that we get a bigger edge playing them in the second half line, where it's that little bit more likelihood the game can really open up. And if there's more points, that's more chance that the favourite can be covering. I've also got a really exciting mixed matchup to share, special one this week, but I'll put that at the end of the pod. So, like as I said, if you look at overall, awesome season. But trust me, I'm well aware that punters have a shorter memory as anyone. I'm also aware that a lot of money gets placed based on what I say every week. So I do take this very seriously. And when I said before, I'm nervous, it's true for sure. The anxiety is really getting me. And it's not because I doubt my knowledge when it comes to the NRL punting. It's because I don't have control over the results. So I just want to make one analogy before we dive into it. Think of me more like a coach. We've got a 7-year proven record that I do know what I'm doing, and I am diligent in my preparation. And my best bets is kind of like a coach coming up with tactics that I think are the best tactics or game plan to beat the bookies this weekend. But after I share those tips or come up with those tactics, it's still up to what happens on the field, and it's in the hands of the players. And the good news for you guys is I share the reasoning behind my tactics. I don't just say these are my tips and just follow on blindly or not. I try and explain why. So if you don't agree, you don't have to follow the same tactics. You can come up with your own conclusions for your own bets, or you can even flat out go against mine if you strongly disagree with what I say. So again, apologies to people who say stop trying to justify yourself every week, but I do feel a responsibility to be like realistic and to be clear about what I'm doing. And I would honestly rather lose followers because I refuse to promise the world, and I can't promise a winning week is coming this week or a winning fortnight is going to come and make up for the last fortnight. That's just something nobody can guarantee. Okay, I'm going to go into all eight matches and I'm going to talk about the top eight. But first, let's bring up our sponsored segment. Tristan wasn't on the recap, so we're going to hear a tiny bit about their biggest wins and losses of round 22 as well as where the action is at for round 23.
Hello, punters. It's Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport. We're getting close to the finals. We've got a big game tomorrow night between the Titans and the Knights. But before we get onto that, we'll quickly touch on last round. There were a few good games. I thought the first three games were absolute crackers. The Titans really aimed up against the Storm. Manly only just got over the line against Canberra. And the Panthers-Rabbits game was a beauty. I know Penrith ended up winning 13+, but that game came right down to the wire. That was probably our best result of the weekend, actually. The Panthers, there was a lot of money for the Rabbitohs all week, particularly late, so that one was a good result, despite Penrith still starting slight favourites. The worst result of the weekend by some margin was the Parramatta against the Cowboys game. Despite the Parramatta's ordinary recent form, they were still very well back to cover the line against the Cowboys, and they just got there in the end, so that was a very ordinary one from our point of view. Moving on to this week, we've got a really good game tomorrow night, as I touched on, the Knights against the Titans, where the Titans have been backed into favourites. It'll be interesting who starts that way, but it looks as though the Titans probably might. Then you've got a cracker as well on Friday night between the Roosters and the Rabbitohs, where the Roosters need to win to stay in that top four position there, $4 in that game and quite big underdogs. We've got a few games that are tight in betting, but they involve some teams that aren't really playing for much, so it'll be interesting how those markets play out. And then the back end of the week, we've got some pretty lopsided matches with the Storm, the Seagulls and the Panthers, all expected to win quite comfortably. The biggest move of the weekend has by far and away been the Manly Bulldogs game, where the line's gone from 24.5 out to 30.5. The punters are expecting, with Turbo back, the Seagulls to put up a big number. So it'll be interesting to see if any of these weakened sides can stay competitive or if the favourites will be too good. I know Jacob's keen on the latter. So good luck for everyone having a bet. Do so responsibly. We'll chat to you next week.
Thank you, Tristan. Okay, top eight talk. Obviously, there's still a bunch of teams in the mix to make the finals. It's been very interesting in this last couple of months of the season, really, the race to make the eight. And it has seesawed quite a bit as well. I've spent hours looking at this. I've played around with the ladder predictor. Ultimately, there's so many combinations. It's too much for me to decipher in this pod and talk about. And then if I did, it just takes one result. I'm start with the very next game that gets played, Knights-Titans. It's going to change the whole landscape as well. So look, I want to give you a quick general summary because I think it adds a guide and context of what's going to be at stake in these matches. I've been saying all year, it looks like 11 wins is the benchmark to make the finals, and that probably will still be true, but it is worth noting, it's possible that a team with 11 wins could miss the eight on differential. So there are scenarios where more than two teams get to 11 wins. So that's important for Newcastle because they've got 11 wins right now and they're not totally safe yet. So I'm put up the ladder on the screen now if you're watching this as a video. And anyone from position 7 to 13 are still in the hunt. They're not safe and they're not eliminated yet. And that's right. You're going to see teams like the Tigers, the Warriors, and even the Dragons. They're not mathematically eliminated yet because while 11 wins could miss the 8, there's also a scenario where 10 wins could get you in. And again, that's where it'll come down to points differential. And the reason that the Tigers, Warriors, and Dragons, none of them probably will make it, is not only is the best case scenario for them 10 wins, they all have the poorest plus minus differential. So it's very unlikely, but I do want to kind of point that out as well because I jumped the gun. I claimed victory on Sunday night and on the social media and said that the 15-1 multi has won. The truth of the matter is, the Dragons have a less than 1% chance to make the 8. That's the good news. We got 15-1 and went 99% plus. But I think in the review I said like it's almost mathematically impossible. It's 1 in 10,000. Well, I looked a little bit closer. It's probably more like a 1 in 200. So I probably wish I didn't actually claim victory. I think it's bad karma for me to have already said it won and to put it in the multi record. That's my mistake. And because the truth is, it's still in the realm of possibility if the Dragons win their final two games and win them well and a bunch of other results go against them, so or go in the Dragons' favour. So If the Dragons somehow make the eight and we don't win that 15-1 multi, that is completely on me. Finally, most likely the Knights are going to get in, whether or not they win one more game, whether it's this week or next week against Brisbane. The final spot in the eight, it's most likely going to be Cronulla, Gold Coast, or Canberra. Whichever one of those three wins their final two matches. And if more than one of those sides wins their final two, then it's going to come down to plus minus. Cronulla in the box seat. The Titans are not far behind. So that's going to get very interesting, especially next week. And Canberra really needs somebody like Cronulla or Gold Coast to slip on a banana peel. And then Canberra obviously needs to win out to get in. So basically, again, look at the ladder. Anybody who's coming from 7th to 13th, those teams, round 24 is extremely important to all of those teams. Although obviously the ones towards the bottom, they still need a minor miracle. Okay, let's move to the first game, Knights Titans. You've heard my best bet is taking the Knights plus a half, a point, $1.89 in the first half. And the Knights became a flipped favorite today, which was I was happy to see because I was leaning their way. They're plus 1.5, I think, just about across the board. The Titans are a slight favorite. Yes, it's a must win for the Gold Coast. I would also say their destiny is in their hands because they play later than Cronulla on next week. So like, as long as the Titans win their games, they're actually going to know how many points they need to beat New Zealand by next week. But let's worry about this week now for sure. The Titans, if they lose this one, it's very unlikely they're going to make it. I think it's a big game for the Knights too, because for one, they're not safe. And two, if they can win this week, they'll have the luxury of resting everybody in round 25, which I think will be a big carrot for that squad. Now, Clemmer is out, but Frizzell is back from injury. That's a big boost. On the Titans side of things, Ash Taylor is out, and they're going to play Peachy at 6, although Sexton's in the reserves, so I guess it's possible they shuffle that again. I think the Titans are at their best when Peachy is probing in the middle, but gee, it's a bold move to play him in your halves for the first time this season in the biggest game of the season. They do also get back Fotuaker earlier than expected from a knee injury. Again, is that desperation? They've swapped in Rain at hooker after Clark had a pretty poor game last week. And Fifita is named on the bench. I think he started against the Storm, but as we know, Fifita started on the bench in some of the recent games with the Titans that they did actually win. Before the season started, it's worth noting, I think any expert or any prediction, everyone was so bullish on the Titans and less so on the Knights, and everybody had the Titans finishing above the Knights. And I was the one kind of saying, I don't see how the Titans are any better than the Knights. I think they're quite similar teams. And actually in my preseason prediction, I went Knights 7th, Titans 8th. And it may still play out that way. You can argue the Titans are going along all right. They won 3 in a row, and then they ran into a pretty hot Souths and the Melbourne Storm, which obviously is going to stifle any team. Losing Brimson is also a huge loss. As much as Campbell's that X factor, I just have that trust in Brimson. He's more of a leader. He's a voice in organization and defense, but also it's not just the X factor attacking plays, but Brimson kind of punches through the line, can take a tough carry or just get a legs tackle and quick play the ball for the Titans. That's really important that they do miss, while Campbell, there's no denying, you know, his talent. I do think these teams are pretty evenly matched, but when I look across the board, I just think the more dangerous playmakers are all playing for the Knights. Ponga, obviously, Bradman Best since he's been back. Clifford was man of the match last week. He's really blossoming in his new team. Mitchell Pearce, again, has a couple games under the belt. Jaden Brayley is that consistent nine that's a lot better than whatever the Titans have been able to offer at hooker all year. And then Connor Watson at 13 compared to McIntyre for the Titans. So look, I'm not desperate to bet against a Titans side that season is on the line. But again, look at West. Their season was on the line last week. It didn't guarantee a performance. I'm happy to take the Knights plus the hook in the first half. Moving to Friday, the Warriors play the Raiders. The Raiders are a 6.5-point favorite in Mackay. Lodge returns for the Warriors. Harris Tavita is out. Nikarima is in for the Raiders. Frawley is going to get the start at 7. Williams is dropped. They're going to retain Rapana at fullback. And Nickel Klukstad, who came on for the final 20 and had a couple of bad moments, but it was good to see him back on the field. He's on the bench again, but maybe he gets a bigger role in the back line or, you know, out there on the field for the Raiders this week. I definitely can't take the team off the gut-wrenching loss on a short turnaround, and that's the Warriors. Now, of course, as I referenced before, the Raiders had a gut-wrenching loss too, going down by 1-2 Manly, but that game was always going to be tough. They still have a genuine belief, the Raiders, that they can win these final two games and they can get into the finals. The biggest danger with the Warriors, as I said before, is it could be time to just unleash the shackles. Brown, in his post-match interview, his biggest disappointment of the loss against Brisbane was they didn't play enough footy. We were too conservative. Maybe we played like a team that was afraid to lose. So I really think the Warriors are going to throw it around plenty. You got Walsh, he's electric as anybody. Hiku has been really, really creative and adding playmaking for them out at center. Even you look at the whole Warriors forward pack, they've got a bunch of forwards that actually like to play a bit of footy rather than just purely ruck it up. If New Zealand's throwing caution to the wind, then I think this could definitely be an open and high scoring game. And I think the Raiders will probably get the win because they just might have that extra desperation that might be the difference in one or two key defensive moments. But ultimately, I think the Raiders' chance to win this game is they've got to be able to put on some points. I'm backing that they will. That's why my best bet is Raiders over 4.5 tries in that one. Moving to a Roosters Rabbitohs at Suncorp on Friday night. I'd have to say, unfortunately, it's another, you know, marquee matchup. One of those regular season games we always look forward to every year. That is a bit spoiled because one side is pretty depleted. The Roosters, as if they didn't have enough injuries and suspensions, they lost Kieran, Butcher and Copley last week. Now, you'll say none of them are big guns, but it just stretches the depth further. To give you an idea, Lachie Lamb is playing centre this week. For the Rabbitohs, they've lost Mansour. I think for the season, he had a knee injury, had a really tough night at the office against Penrith. Kalo Matangi suspended. Jaden Sewer is in. Totola is named but must pass HIA protocol. Conflicting reports about Damian Cook. I heard essentially he's getting a rest this week, but then in the team list, he's still named at 9, and there's other reports saying he's trying to overcome a calf injury to play. I'm not sure if he will. You know, Souths don't desperately need to win this game, but there's cover anyway at regards to hooker. Like Benji is on the bench, and Mamazulos, always get that wrong, in the reserves there, the young dummy half for the Bunnies. So look, in terms of who needs the win, the Roosters do need to win it to make the top four, and the Rabbitohs don't necessarily need to win it. They're going to probably finish third, but I really do believe there's something to be said for bringing form into the finals, and I also believe round 25, we've seen the blueprint of successful finals team, that is to rest your star players in round 25 if you don't need the win, and therefore they're fresher, they've got more energy, and you don't have any chance of picking up any knocks or suspensions for the all-important finals. So I think that's definitely on the cards for Souths. Not to mention they're coming off a really frustrating loss where Panthers really strangled them out of the game. They've still named a very strong squad with or without Damian Cook. And as if you didn't need more motivation for the Rabbitohs, it's against their arch nemesis who they hate. So my instinct is to back Souths here. Of course, the Roosters hate them too, so the hate factor is not an edge. But I do just wonder whether the Roosters want to try and just exert all their possible energy they got left to fight for top four. And they could still lose to Souths this weekend, even if they play their best. And then what's it for? You get to fourth and you're going to play the Melbourne Storm. I think it's a different equation for Manly, who really believe they could give the Storm problems, where I actually believe there's a possibility, there is some validity to the argument that the Roosters could be better off finishing fifth or sixth, especially if the Roosters team could have the option to rest a bunch of their key players in round 25. And I think there's no team in the competition who could do with resting some key players more than the Roosters. So we've seen this before where Robinson actually is not afraid to sacrifice peak performance in a given match, even a derby. Remember round 25 last year, or round 20, I think it was, the final regular season game. He'll take that short-term pain for longer-term gain. And even though the Roosters got bounced in the finals last year, you got to remember they only lost to Penrith by 1 point in the first week in Penrith. The Roosters could have potentially made even more noise in last year's finals if things were a little bit different. So for me, it's Rabbitohs or nothing, because the Roosters have just got so many injuries, suspensions, that it could be a critical mass kind of thing where now you're playing one of the big guns. You're so far below your strongest. It's going to be very hard to compete. That's the way I feel. But the line has kind of gotten pretty steep. I think in my graphic, you can still see -11.5 on Bet365. That was the last 11.5 I could see. Every other bookie's moved to 12.5 on this game. And I considered, do I lay the points with Souths? But ultimately, I'm just going to pass the game. Although, spoiler, it may be included in some way, shape, or form in the mixed matchup. Moving to Saturday, Dragons play Cowboys at Rocky. You've heard my best bet, Cowboys +5.5 at $1.80 on Bet365 in the alt line. Here's an interesting fact for you. Halfway through the season, these two teams were both in the top 8. In the last 10 weeks, these two teams have a combined one win between them. So obviously things have not gone according to plan for these sides. The Dragons reshuffle the team again. Bud Sullivan comes in and starts at 9. The only actual major in or out have been a few forwards as changing positions, but Tyrell Sloan is going to get the nod at fullback. Dufty likely has played his last game for the Red V. Now, in the recap, I mentioned there are some bright spots for the Dragons. I thought this Talatau Amone was exceptional, even in a losing side. Now the spine has Sloan, Amone, and Sullivan. You know, they say, and I don't want to set expectations too high, but they talk about these Dragons kids as on a similar path to that Penrith nucleus, in the sense that these kids have played together for years, dominated in the junior ranks. And so that's something for St. George fans to hang on to, is maybe the future is bright if these kids can have a chance to kind of gel together. I was also kind of impressed by the Dragons. They helped us win the next matchup last week, but you know, they lost by 20 to the Roosters, but with 20 minutes to go, they were in front. So they did fight for an hour in that game against a pretty strong opposition. And obviously it's been a really disappointing end to the year for St. George, and they had the scandal, but you've got to remember this side was favourites to win the Spoon. So overall, it really hasn't been the worst year. And I say that because I still think there could be some positivity in the Dragons camp. I don't think they're necessarily going to be flat just because their chance of making the finals has, you know, took a massive body blow last week against the Roosters. In terms of the Cowboys, as I mentioned at the top, so the Hammer, he came back last week and played fullback, and Peyton has said that Tabuai Fidoh is going to stay at fullback. They'll see what they've got with him there. To be honest, he may be the more natural fullback to Val Holmes, who this week is actually going to play centre. Plus, Kyle Felt and Murray Tulungi both return and bolster this side as well. I didn't mention them too. And then you got Taumalolo back, and he is actually going to play prop this week and fill in for Cohen Hess, who is out. There is a temptation to play overs. You got the regional venue. You got, like, it's always like a showcase event when it's in a neutral venue. It's a day game. You got two teams that you could say don't care. But the total's over 50 for a reason, and my hesitation would be that because these sides are both desperate for that winning feeling, I think the team that wins will be the team that shows that bit more grit in their defense. So I won't play the overs. I'll just play the Cowboys with the points, because I think it can go either way. And I do think, you know, Peyton's talked about, that's our last goal for the year, is to get that winning feeling and to get a first grade win for some of the young kids that we've blooded that haven't experienced that either. When I see a game that could go either way, I like to take the underdog. Moving to Sharks Broncos at Suncorp. Sharkies are a -5.5 point favourite. Cronulla is a team that has their fate in their own hands. You could argue, actually, Cronulla's fate is in Bellamy's hands, depending on who he names in round 25. But you know what I mean. If the Sharks win their last two games and keep a solid points differential, they're getting into the eighth. They'll be equal eighth at worst, definitely, if they win this game. That's what's going to be on their mind. What's also going to be on their mind is the last time these two teams met, which was also at the same venue, Suncorp. Brisbane punked the Sharks. I mean, the Sharks, I remember, because we had a best bet on Sharks -7.5. The line closed -13.5, but the Broncos won on the back of Katoni Staggs, who was awesome. Now, he's not going to be there this week, but neither is Sean Johnson, who was available back then. Sharkies have also lost Mulitalo, nasty jaw injury. That does hurt. He's an exciting electric outside back. Whereas the Broncos name an unchanged 1-17 and got that reward for not giving up at the end of this season. I mean, they fought hard for 80 against the Roosters. They lost by one. Last week, they fought hard for 80 against the Warriors, and they got the two-point win. If Brisbane had lost last week, I guess you could say, or they'd be more desperate. But, you know, there's something to be said for a struggling team to get a confidence-boosting win. So I think Brisbane, there's no reason why they shouldn't get up and put in a good performance. Again, the signs are clear that this Brisbane team is playing hard through the end of the year, and that's important to Kevy. While for the Sharkies, there's no question that they're going to play hard. We understand how important this game for them. And on top of that, if you're betting on this game, I don't have a best bet, but you do probably want to understand the plus minus for the Sharkies is relevant. So if the Sharkies do get on top and get up a couple of tries, there is motivation to actually extend that lead, especially if the Titans would have won earlier in the round. So that's something to definitely keep an eye on. I can't take the Broncos plus the points for that very reason. But when I look across the rosters, with the guys that are out for the Sharks, I'm not sure they're like that much better than Brisbane, factoring in a home crowd for Brisbane as well. I know I questioned whether Cronulla were that much better than West last week, and that proved to be emphatically wrong. So maybe it's me needing to give the Sharkies more credit. Look, if I had to play this game at -5.5, I would lean to Cronulla. But I think there's a bit of X factor in Brisbane. Like, Milf actually looked to have some life last week. I think Brisbane could give the Sharks a decent game of footy here, just enough so that I didn't feel there was a big enough edge to play the Sharks line. So I left that alone. I do have a best bet on the Storm, as you know, -10.5 in the second half, $1.87 on Unibet against the Eels. The line for the full game is -22.5. Now, 6 weeks ago, I made a real point on the pod to point out that Melbourne had covered 14 of their last 15 games and how that's just not meant to be possible because the spread gets adjusted every week to adjust for their performance. Well, wouldn't you know, since then, they've only covered one of the last five. But I actually feel like this could be the week where Melbourne wants a complete performance, as I said. In fact, Munster actually gave an interview yesterday and openly admitted that the Storm may rest up to 10 players next week. So I think that's where, if you know you're resting in round 25, you can empty the tank and give everything you've got and start to get in finals form in round 24. That's what I think the Storm are going to do. I mean, on top of that, they're riding the greatest ever win streak in the history of the NRL. And if they win this, that'll be 20 in a row, and that will be the record. And they wrap up the minor premiership a week early, which then gives the freedom to do whatever they want next week. And as if the Storm didn't need more motivation, Parramatta is a team that actually beat them earlier this year, dealt them one of their only two losses. We saw what the Storm did to Penrith, which was another rematch to avenge an earlier season loss. So on top of that, Brandon Smith, Hughes, Olam back, Kamakamita in the reserves as well. If you look at Parramatta and you try and think of reasons why they could keep it close, I struggle to see it. They can't really affect their finals positioning. They can't fall beyond sixth. I also think Parramatta may rest players next week. And you might say, well, then it's the same for them, that they can fight hard here. But you don't want, like, Parramatta doesn't want to get demoralized in this game. But the issue is, when you play against a Storm and the Storm are on, sometimes you don't get a choice in how the game is going to go. Plus, they've lost Mike Acevo. Fergo comes back in. I just don't see anything but a dominant Melbourne Storm win. And I think underperforming market expectations in the last month gives us that extra value. Plus, the edge of playing second half line. I mean, if the line for the full game goes up to 24.5, that second half line goes to 12.5. So that's why I like the 10.5, grabbing that now as well. Just win the second half by a couple of converted tries. Moving to a team that will win by plenty of converted tries. The Seagulls play the Dogs. The line is 30.5. This is on Sunday. It was 66-0 last time these two met. And we were on the Bulldogs' first half start that day, which didn't go too well. It's funny because we've had an amazing season, but I can remember so many of these losses so clearly. Now, this is not revenge factor territory as well, because I think that only works when you lose to a team that you felt you should have beaten, and I don't think the Bulldogs are that deranged. Manly gets back Turbo as well, regardless of the Roosters result, whether the Roosters would have won on Friday or not. It's a must-win for Manly, because they either need this game to stay in touch with the top four or to actually jump into the top four after getting this result. So Manly wants to win. Manly will win. They're basically back to full strength. Brad Parker returns as well. On the other side of the coin, the Dogs have lost Adam Elliott, Waddell, Thompson suspended again. The lone players, Horsberg and James, are gone. Avarillo was a late scratch last week. He's in reserves this week. They get back Jack Hetherington from suspension. Something you don't see every day, Manly's team total is actually like 42.5 points. So Manly could score 40 in this game. And if you back their team total over, you'd lose. So that's the biggest challenge with like coming up with a bet in this game. It's like not me trying to figure out how the game's going to go. I think we all know how it's going to go, but that line is so expensive. So one thing I will note though is that Manly, you might think because they're trying to get in the top four and they're behind the Roosters, that points differential is important. It kind of isn't important for Manly because they already have the significantly better for and against than the Roosters. So all they need to do is win one more game than the Roosters do. I think they probably will because I think the Roosters lose to the Bunnies and then Manly wins this one and gets in the four. I lean Manly even at that huge line, even though it's the public side. I think that they'll make mincemeat of the Doggies. Finally, the Panthers play the Tigers, another huge line. Penrith, 28.5 point favourites. I have a lean to Penrith, well, and I also have a best bet on their second half minus 13.5 at $1.82 on Unibet, similar to the Melbourne Storm and the Rabbit inclination that I've spoken about. I think finals rehearsal, I think full focus, full intensity, being sharp in your execution, and then luxury to rest whoever you want in round 25. So I knew I'd be taking like kind of Penrith or nothing in this game. Plus there's that revenge factor because West actually beat Penrith, albeit Penrith had six stars out, but still. And you know, some of those stars are back. Even Edwards, who copped a knock last week, is named to start at fullback. To'o and Fisher Harris in the 17, Tyrone May and Charlie Staines are in the reserves as well. You can say the Tigers are mathematically still alive, but the truth is their season is over. The truth is they're going to get pumped. Dwayne, Tarmow not playing. It's just another massive favourite that I could only take. I could only lay the points with at this point in the season. And on that note, we've now gone through all eight games. We haven't heard the mixed matchup. It's going to combine four of the games we've talked about. And it's going to be a bit like that Saturday Slayer, which was one of our highlights of the season, where we took the three big favourites. This time I'm calling it Heavyweight Hammer Time. And we're taking the four biggest favourites of the round to outscore their opponents combined by 91 plus. So more than a 90 point separation across the big four teams: the Bunnies, who play the Roosters, the Storm, who play Para, the Seagulls, who play the Dogs, and then Penrith, who play the Tigers. So we've got some big favourites there. I'm just going to lean on my theory that I've talked about multiple times in this pod. If round 24 is a finals rehearsal, and if the big guns want to flex their muscle and then maybe ease up a little bit in round 25, then this is the round you want to be on those big guns. If you add those four big lines together, you get 92. Well, these four teams could win by a combined 92 points, and we still win. I lean to all the favourites as well. We're getting $2 odds. I just think it's definitely a better than 50-50 play. I mentioned outscore their opponents combined, so that actually means they don't even all have to win. You know, let's just say the Bunnies lose by 4 points or 6 points to the Roosters. Well, would you be shocked if the Storm, Seagulls, and Panthers still won by, you know, 96 combined? I mean, I really think if you're going to tell me the Storm or the Seagulls or the Panthers get upset this weekend, I'm going to be shocked. But if you were to tell me that the Storm or Seagulls or Panthers are going to win by 50 or 60, as we've seen them do before, it wouldn't really surprise me as much. So I think there's that bigger chance of a really extreme result in one of these four games, and much more chance that the extreme result would go in our favor. So lots of reasons why, to me, this is better than 50-50 play, but we get $2 odds and you can have up to $200 on that on Top Sport. Now, a warning, Toppy do have a couple of concerns that this one could get smashed. So Tristan said he's going to commit to keeping this market up at this price until the kickoff of the round, which is 7:50 tomorrow night, Thursday night, which is a day before any of these games start. And he's going to have a look at the liability. So, I mean, that gives any Tripod follower the time to jump on, but it potentially limits any damage and liability therein. So keep that in mind, guys. But I'll post on the social media as well that price, $2 for, I'll repeat it one more time, Bunnies, Storm, Seagulls, Panthers to outscore their opponents by 91 plus in round 24. If you need Top Sport, you can join with the promo code TRIPOD. It's not too late to get amongst the action. Thanks for tuning in again, guys. Please let me know what you reckon of the best bets of the mixed matchup, of any of the insights I shared, and your own, as well as your own tips. I really appreciate your feedback. Good luck on the punt. As always, gamble responsibly and legal.